terrorists and the Paris attack.
An Al-Qaeda video claims responsibility.
Charlie Hebdo's return.
The newspaper sold out within minutes.
Partial evacuation on the space station.
They're playing it safe. The crew's not in any danger.
Nearing the end of a grueling climb.
Holding on to things that are as big as a fingernail.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, there's been a claim of responsibility for the Paris newspaper attack last week that left 12 people dead. CBS's Vicky Barker joins us live with the latest from the foreign desk.
This is Nasser al-Ansi, a top commander of Al-Qaeda in Yemen, claiming that his group chose the target, laid out the plan, and financed the operation against Charlie Hebdo. But terror expert Raffaello Pantucci notes an earlier communique merely applauded the attack.
What we aren't totally clear about because of the sort of confusion around these claims is whether they directed and controlled the attack in a very direct way or in a slightly more indirect or distant way.
He says the other attack on a Jewish supermarket appears to have been less well organized than the newspaper massacre, suggesting that gunman may have been more of a lone wolf, despite his claim he was with Al-Qaeda's rival, ISIS. Steve?
Well, the first issue of Charlie Hebdo since the deadly attack is out today. And it's a hot seller. The cover features a drawing of the Prophet Muhammad with a tear and a sign that says, "I am Charlie," and a headline, "All is forgiven." CBS's Elaine Cobb is in Paris.
There have been long lines at newsstands across the country. There was rationing of copies. Many vendors stuck to a one-person, one-copy rule. The distributors have said they'll be sending new copies to the newsstands gradually over the next several weeks in the hope that everyone who wants one can get a copy.
And some copies have already turned up for resale on eBay. The Paris attacks are casting a shadow over the Boston Marathon bomb trial, and attorneys for Johar Tsarnaev are asking for jury selection to be suspended for at least a month. CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
It's going to be difficult, I think, for this judge to deny this request without creating a viable appeal issue if Tsarnaev is found guilty. The fact is, you're asking his potential jurors to keep an open mind about a terror attack while the whole Western world is mourning a terror attack.
A federal grand jury in Ohio has served up an indictment against a bartender who allegedly threatened to kill House Speaker John Boehner by possibly poisoning a drink or shooting him. CBS's Nancy Cordes says Michael Hoyt of Cincinnati was fired from a golf club last fall.
He served Speaker Boehner drinks at the Wetherington Country Club outside Cincinnati for about 5.5 years. So the speaker did know this man. He recalled being served by him and told police that he had never had a negative interaction with him.
The indictment says Hoyt told police Boehner was mean to him. Hoyt's now undergoing a mental evaluation and treatment. A fresh CBS News poll indicates President Obama's job approval rating is up 7 points from early last fall. It's now 46%. He's not running for anything, but Mr. Obama goes to a key political launch pad state today to push his broadband plan. Here's CBS's Pam Coulter.
Returning to Iowa for the first time in over 2 years, President Obama will detail his plan for revving up Americans' access to the Internet. He'll go on record opposing state laws that thwart competition among broadband service providers, asking the FCC to get involved.
There are real-world consequences to this, and it makes us less economically competitive. Now, the good news is that there are some steps we can take through executive actions.
$40 million in new loans will also be made available for rural areas. Pam Coulter, CBS News, The White House.
From Virginia, the story of a disgraced lawmaker's seemingly unlikely comeback. CBS's Heather Bosch joins us.
At night, he sleeps in jail.
But this is a cell here.
But during the day, Joseph Morrissey will be on electronic monitoring while he serves in the Virginia House of Delegates. He was elected yesterday to the very seat he resigned amid the sex scandal that landed him in jail. Prosecutors say he had sex with a 17-year-old. Fellow lawmakers may still try to oust him, but he says,
"I'll address that. It's like a wrestling tournament. You wrestle one match at a time."
The last time Virginia's House voted out a member was in 1876.
A problem, what was thought to be an ammonia leak, but officials aren't sure, has forced crew members to evacuate the U.S. section of the International Space Station. Space consultant Bill Harwood says all on board are safe.
The crew in the U.S. segment of the station put on protective masks, and then they moved over to the Russian side of the station, closed hatches to isolate the U.S. segment. This is a routine precaution anytime there's a hazardous material detected.
In the Java Sea, a naval ship has spotted the fuselage of Air Asia Flight 8501, a recovery effort's now being organized, 48 bodies of the 162 crash victims have been found. House Republicans make their first moves today in the bid to undo President Obama's new immigration policies. At the Supreme Court, justices look at a case that tests deportation rules. CBS's Barry Bagnato covers the high court.
Can someone be deported for having drug paraphernalia, even without a drug possession conviction? The Justice Department tells the Supreme Court today any crime related to a controlled substance can be a deportable offense. In this case, the paraphernalia was a sock that held four tablets worn by a man who has earned two master's degrees in the U.S. and taught math at the University of Missouri. His lawyers say the government is going too far.
Ticketmaster is offering refunds for two Bill Cosby shows this weekend in Denver. 3,000 tickets have been sold. Promoters say the performances will go on. Protests have been planned there because of the sex assault allegations against Cosby. Some shows in other cities have been canceled. They're almost there. Two climbers trying to scale the granite face of Yosemite's El Capitan using their hands and feet. CBS's John Blackstone.
Climbers Kevin Jorgensen and Tommy Caldwell are within reach of the summit near the end of a climb long thought impossible.
They're basically on the side of three Empire State Buildings, holding on to things that are as big as a fingernail.
Photographer Tom Evans has been following the climbers as they make their way up the Dawn Wall, the toughest slope on El Capitan.
It's the sheerest part of the wall. It's the longest part of the wall.
Caldwell's wife, Becca, is watching with their young son, Fitz.
Your husband, father of your child, hanging by his fingertips on sheer granite. What's that like?
I mean, that's Tommy. That's what he does. So it's kind of become our norm, as abnormal as that sounds.
Caldwell and Jorgensen spent 7 years working out a way to conquer the Dawn Wall with only safety equipment. John Blackstone, CBS News, Yosemite National Park.
At college, a book can cost a small fortune. One Massachusetts school has struck a deal to save students money at the expense of the school bookstore.
UMass has announced a deal with online retailer Amazon to supply textbooks to its students. The school's brick-and-mortar bookstore will close. Officials say the five-year partnership is a way to help students struggling with the high cost of books. It's estimated they'll save an average of $380 a year. This is Amazon's third online bookstore at a university, its first in the Northeast. Students will be able to buy new, used, and digital textbooks with free one-day shipping. Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ohio's Supreme Court hears arguments today in a case about a law that taxes pro athletes and entertainers who work for short stints in the state. One ex-NFL player, a former Chicago Bears linebacker, has sued over Cleveland's interpretation of that law, which imposes a 2% income tax on games played there. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kaif in CBS News.